Advanced learning simply means that if a kid is able to do work at a higher level, they should have the ability and the opportunity to do it. So, for instance, a kindergartner who, instead of at age 5, somebody is age 4, is precocious enough to start kindergarten, or a middle school child who can do high school work, or a high school kid who can do college work. We ought to encourage that. And we also ought to encourage for those who can skip grades. There's no reason that they have to take each grade in succession. If they're capable of doing more advanced work, we should let them do it. The irony here is if we let kids skip grades, if they're up to it, it actually saves money. Instead of having a child from pre-K to 12, a 13-year, 14-year career in school, you have them for a year or two less. The kid likes it, the parents like it, and it saves money. No reason not to do it.
Is the problem the fact that these students are just not being identified as potentially reaching high levels, or are the programs just not there?
Both. In some cases, the kids are not being identified and the kids are not being given the services that they need. And in other cases where the kids are identified, there's simply not enough spots for them to be eligible, or there's no program to acknowledge it. Our focus for the last, you know, two decades has been to get everybody up to proficiency. And that's a good thing. That's something we should be doing. But we shouldn't ignore the kids who are at the very top. Doing that is eating your seed corn. We need to make sure that the kids at the top are capable and are getting the challenges they need. Because otherwise, as a country, we're not going to be competitive. And we're also denying those kids the American dream. You're supposed to be able to be everything you're capable of. We ought to let them.
How do you determine who these kids are? Simply the kids that are getting straight A's, or is it a little more complicated than that?
It is more complicated. It's a combination of factors. For the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, we look at all sorts of things. For instance, we look at standardized test scores. We look at grades in school. We look at things they might have done that are extraordinary. The concert violinist. The kid who sits at home at the computer and works out an app that no one else has thought of. We want to get those kids the kind of challenges that are going to enable them to be the next Jonas Salk, Albert Einstein, Bill Gates.
Are there mentoring programs available now that could tap into these children?
There are programs out there, but not enough. What these kids really need, what the recent research has shown, is that these kids are actually quite fragile. We used to think, and I, as somebody who ran the New York City school system, believed, if you're really smart and you're really poor, you can make it on your own, because you can write your own ticket. Everyone's going to come after you in the colleges. Well, it turns out that it's probably true that many of these kids can get into college, but it's also the case that fully 22% of the ones who are really high performers and really poor don't even apply to college. And 23% don't take the SAT or the ACT. And of those who get in, they often get into schools that are undermatched. In other words, not as rigorous as they're capable of. And then they don't graduate in the same percentages. And the ones who do graduate don't go on to graduate school in the same percentages. Indeed, the longer you stay in public education, if you're a high-performing, low-income kid, the worse you do. That's terrible.
Does it just boil down to a lack of funding?
It's funding, it's focus, and it's accountability. We need more money to do the job right. We need to identify the kids, and we need to give them the kind of opportunities that are really going to let them blossom. We're not doing that now.
Many of these low-income urban schools are just trying to get their kids through, making sure they don't drop out, making sure that they graduate, keeping the school away from state receivership or state takeover. Just trying to survive, I guess. So how, under that survival mode, will some of these urban schools find the time and the funding to help out these academic performers?
Well, you put your finger on it. We focus on making sure that everybody can at least get a high school diploma. We focus on making sure that the bottom 30% who are otherwise not going to graduate and not be able to get through the Regents exams are able to do so. But that's not enough. We also need to show a pathway for the kids at the very top. And I'm not so concerned about the kids who are well-to-do or even middle class at the very top. I'm concerned about the kids who are from the lower economic quadrant. Those kids need help. They're often the first generation. They're often immigrants. They're often disadvantaged from all kinds of perspectives. And I don't mean, you know, black versus Hispanic versus Asian versus white. It's from all ethnicities. Poor kids, kids of moderate income, simply don't do as well anymore as they used to. And that's because wealthy parents can provide all kinds of advantages, test prep, enrichment programs, summers abroad, language programs. A poor kid has no chance. That's what we have to change.